What a beautiful day to gather in God's presence to celebrate the gift of the world that God has made and everyone in it. Our hearts are filled with gratitude that today two new members have been called to be saints, St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pierre Giorgio Freddi. And both were young men who witnessed to God's love working through them, each an instrument of God's love, using their gifts for the good of the church. So they became true disciples, and they teach us that love and action is possible even in Jubilee year 2025. As Jesus speaks to us today, there's a phrase that rings through and through. Three times he says, "He cannot be my disciple." The word disciple is the most common name in the Bible for those who follow Jesus. In the Gospels, in the Acts of the Apostles, followers of Jesus are called disciples 264 times. If you and I intend to be a disciple of Jesus, there are some questions that we must answer. The first question is, what priority do we place on following Jesus? Someone has calculated a typical lifespan of 70 years is how it's spent. 23 years, sleeping. 16 years, working. 8 years, TV and video. 6 years, eating. And a whole 6 months out of 70 years, religion. That's 0.7% in a lifetime. Too often we allow lesser things to stand in the way of greater things. Like many on the road with Jesus, we have the best of intentions, but we have a hard time prioritizing who or what is important. So question one, who is the most important purpose in your life? To follow Jesus means we must also establish our priorities. Like Jesus is talking about an owner who's going to build something, and he could just say, let's get it done, but no, he has to get a layout, get a plan. How much is it going to cost? Look down the road, count the cost, pencil it in, and do it, and make it happen. Just like we did our recent office building that will hopefully be here soon to be serving us. And when Jesus was telling our story today, he was on the way to Jerusalem. And all around him, crowds were following, thinking they were on their way to an empire. But he knew the path. It was the path to the cross. What a contrast. To think that the crowds of the Bible followed Jesus because they were so wonderful, it's because he had something to even greater. So, we have the opportunity to learn from him who teaches us that we must carry our cross. Each of us has a different cross to carry. Some is larger, others smaller. Some is over spread of time. Some is one time in many ways. But importantly, the cross of discipleship says whatever it is, we actually accept it and walk with it day by day. As we look at the story of faith, there's always been a cost to pay. Father Abraham gave up his son. Moses gave up Pharaoh's court. Peter gave up his family and his lucrative fishing business. Matthew gave up the lucrative profession of a tax collector. And Paul gave up being a prestigious position as a Pharisee. I've often wondered what would come of church if Jesus' disciples did not make the ultimate sacrifices. If they not paid the price of discipleship with their very lives, where would we be today? Geographically, Christianity is most widely diffused of all faiths. In fact, 1/3 of the earth's 8.2 billion claim Christ as Lord. What kind of church would we be if the 12 had put down their crosses? Several centuries ago, in a mountain village in Europe, a wealthy nobleman wondered what legacy he would leave to his townspeople. He made a good decision. He decided to build them a church. And no one was permitted to see the plans or the inside of the church until it was finished. So at its grand opening, the people gathered and marveled at the beauty of the new church. Everything had been thought of, everything included. It was a masterpiece. But then someone said, wait a minute, where are the lamps? How would the church be lighted? Well, the woman pointed to some brackets in the walls. Then he gave each family a lamp. Each family lamp which he were to bring with them each time they came to worship. Each time you are here, the nobleman said, the place where you are seated will well be lighted. Each time you're not here, that place will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark. Great story. It makes a really significant point about the importance of our commitment, not to be somewhere, but to be here with God and one another. Edward Everett, the poet, put it like this, I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do that something I can do. Let me ask you, what if every member of our church supported the church as you do? What kind of church would we have? Would it be full of life? Would it be full of hope? Would it be full of goodness and love? What if every single member served the church, intended the church, loved the church, rejoiced in the church, exactly as we do? What kind of church would we be? And so we look to the cross that shows us the way. In walking with him, we become one with one another.